Ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor to invite Mrs. Graca Machel to the podium. President Cyril Ramaphosa, I can see Madiba smiling to hear me calling President Ramaphosa. President Barack Obama, Barack, I can't say how much I'm thrilled that you accepted our invitation to honor this occasion and to give us the opportunity once again to celebrate you too. So I welcome, and we are looking forward to listen to you. Professor Njabulo Debele, Patrice, my son, Busi, my daughter, honorary dignitaries and the esteemed guests here today, my two big families, the Mandela family, the Machel family, my very special brothers and sisters, the elders who are here represented, all of you South Africans, today you are very special. Good morning. No, it's afternoon. Good afternoon. I am overjoyed to learn of the multitude of festivities organized by governments, civil society organizations, businesses, entertainers, and individual citizens, including Madiba's grandchildren, from every corner of the globe commemorating Madiba's centenary and honoring the values he embodied. I can certainly say with no hesitation that these celebrations make Madiba incredibly happy and proud. I'd like to thank the Nelson Mandela Foundation for being a watchful custodian of Madiba's legacy and offering an important platform for public discourse and meaningful dialogue in the form of these Nelson Mandela annual lectures. In conjunction with the Nelson Mandela Foundation, I salute all the legacy institutions Madiba established, for they hold a special place in the grand kaleidoscope of organizations carrying out the important work of social transformation. I mean here, the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund, the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital, the Mandela Rhodes Foundation, the Mandela Institute for Development Studies, and the elders. These organizations were personally founded or endorsed by Madiba, and their mandates carry his blessing. Thank you for your tireless efforts to advance the causes that he held so dear. Madiba's centenary is an opportunity to acknowledge his incredible uniqueness in all its forms. Let us not celebrate him singly as an individual, however, as given the humble and modest man that he is, he sees himself as a representative of a broader collective leadership. Madiba's legacy is a rich tapestry woven over 100 years with the threads and colors of generations of leaders who came before him, as well as those who sat as his contemporaries. Let me pause here and ask you to celebrate with me Mama Albertina Sisulu, who also is turning 100 years this 2023. 18. And with loud and loud so that Mama can hear, Utite Basadi, Utite Bokodo. Hello, Mama, we love you. Over decades, he was a student, Madiba was a student of African heritage and leadership traditions. He took close note of the philosophical leanings of a wide range of thought leaders. He dutifully analyzed the approaches of freedom fighters, political prisoners, and heads of state. He was also inspired by the activism of artists, creatives. The struggle hero, the skillful strategist, the visionary statesman, the global icon he is considered today, is a product of this collective leadership. The tapestry of his legacy is woven by generations and generations of great thinkers and strategists, freedom fighters in all their interactions, as well as the unnamed and unknown who piqued his imagination, sharpened his keen intellect, and kept his moral fortitude alight. As we celebrate him and honor his contributions to the world, we must remember that while his political party, the African National Congress, strategically thrust him forward as the symbolic face of the struggle and the world embraced him as such, he was not acting in singular isolation. He, in fact, regarded himself as a representative of a much broader, powerful conglomeration of activists who, in their unique and varied ways, were driving the attainment of political freedom. He considered himself a simple foot soldier. We remember on his jubilant release, he exclaimed, I quote, I stand here before you, not as a prophet, but as a humble servant of you, the people. We, the people, need unifying symbols in which we rally around, and we often elevate symbols who take on the dreams and aspirations of millions of us to deity-like status. Madiba became a selfless symbol of unrelenting resistance, of hope, of resilience, and of victory. He embodied the sacrifices, courage, and the determination of millions who worked in concert to overthrow the evils of apartheid. Perhaps his resolute commitment to his ideals in the face of seemingly insurmountable odds, his incredible strength of character and integrity, and his affirmation of the narrative that indeed good can triumph over evil are why we admire and we revere him so. Madiba internalized the courage and determinations of his own people and gave the absolute best of himself to gift to South Africa its political freedom. But even having achieved the highest aspirations of humanity, the Madiba I know is a simple, grounded, and humble man. I want to share with you one of the moments where this humility expressed itself so genuinely. Madiba was attending the 75th birthday of his close friend and comrade, George Bizos. The event was a star-studded affair with anti-apartheid struggle heroes, VIPs from around the world in attendance. He was getting on in age by then, and was not in a position to enjoy the festivities well into the night. So we agreed he would attend for a brief while and would then make our exit. We arrived to find an entourage of well wishers welcoming him to the party. As guests greet him, and as each of speakers took to the stage, they were singing his praises and bestowing upon him the most flattering of compliments. We were not in the room for more than 30 minutes, but each minute was filled with obvious displays of affection and love for him. With each accolade, he graciously smiled, nodded in appreciations, and thanked them for their kind words. As we leave and we are driving home and reflecting on the lovely evening, he turned to me and in genuine curiosity he questioned, "Mom," because he used to call me Mom. He said, "Mom, don't you think these people are exaggerating? I'm not at all these things they are saying about me." His self-effacing disbelief made me chuckle, and I gently reassured him, and I said, "No, Papa, they're not exaggerating. Yes, you are indeed all these wonderful things they said tonight, because you represent the best of what so many of us aspire to be." He nodded in seeming agreement, but I could tell he did not fully believe me. You see, he was cognizant of the fact that he was a flawed human being, and said in many occasions that he was not a saint. The stature to which he had risen and the symbol of virtue that he had become did not shake him into pompous arrogance. Despite his monumental achievement, his incredible influence and impact, and overwhelming fame and notoriety, the essence of who he was and his level of self-awareness had never been altered. His sober view of himself was that of many times you'd say, "I am a country boy." Madiba was humble enough to recognize the limits of the achievements of his generation. He wisely wrote in his long work to freedom, and I quote, "The truth is that we are not yet free. We have merely achieved the freedom to be free, the right not to be oppressed. We have not taken the final step of our journey, but the first step on a longer and even more difficult road. For to be free is not merely to cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others," unquote. Madiba and his contemporaries laid a solid base for today's generation to now stand free and unconstrained in the continued long work for equality and prosperity for all. They provided the enabling environment for the youth of today to build on foundations of political emancipation and continue weaving a tapestry of their own historical imperative and the thread in social and economic freedom. His centenary gives us the opportunity space to remember how we can take inspiration from his life to bring us closer to the world where, and I quote again, "we live in a way that respects and enhances the freedom of others," unquote. The youth of this country and this continent must follow in his footsteps as the promises of social and economic justice are theirs to fulfill. As Madiba famously said on the occasion of his 90th birthday, I quote, "It is time for new hands to lift the burdens. It is in your hands now," unquote. Young and old alike, we all have the seeds of the Madiba magic within us to confront the challenges we are facing along our own to freedom. We all have both the ability and the responsibility to touch the lives of those around us and uplift our communities. As we reflect on the previous 100 years, we also look with legitimate optimism to the next 100 years. It is not by chance that we have amongst us one of the finest global leaders of the 21st century here today to deliver the centennial Nelson Mandela lecture, President Barack Obama. He is a youthful symbol of transformative leadership on his own right. He's one who has dutifully heeded Madiba's call and taken up firmly in his hands the hard work of leading by example. As the first African-American president, and I'm saying intentionally, first African-American president, Barack Obama stands on the shoulders of giants. He too was influenced by generations of greats who came before him. And to paraphrase the words of our revered Maya Angelou, I quote, "He came as one, but he sends as 10,000, unquote. So, today we are in the presence of two inspiring symbols. And while he came from different historical contexts and circumstances, Mandela and Obama are symbols of victory over adversity. We have before us a beautiful bridge between the best of leadership of the 20th century to the promise of what is emerging for the 21st century. And here, I want to take the pride as an African mother and grandmother. This beautiful bridge is built by men of African heritage. And this means the best of what we as Africans, we are offering to the world, that we can be the best of what humankind can find in situations of adversity, but lead for service. Rooted in the deep desire to elevate the human condition, both have been faithful to the dreams and aspirations of their people. They rose to global prominence fueled by their activism at grassroots, and they are loyal to the values and principles instilled in them by their communities, which molded their character and nurtured their inner strength. From the humbles of beginnings, they are representatives of the masses and reached the pinnacle of power and influence. But in doing so, they were able to elevate the rights and ambitions of the disenfranchised and the weak, of young and old, of both men and women, of black and white. And it took us as a human family to a space where we recognize our common humanity and we understand how inextricably connected we are as human race. In his foreword to Madiba's book, Conversations with Myself, President Obama writes of Mandela, I quote, "His example helped awaken me to the wider world and the obligations that we all have to stand up for what is right. Through his choices, Mandela made it clear that we did not have to accept the world as it is, that we could do our part to seek the world as it should be," unquote. We see how Madiba inspired a young Barack Obama to become an example of leadership for service. From activists and community mobilizer in his hometown, from his seats in the Senate and White House, and to now developing young leaders around the world through the Obama Foundation. I repeat, as the first democratically elected black president of South Africa, Madiba, and the first African American president of the United States, they both hold unique prominence in our consciousness. And four, as groundbreaking and iconic as their places in history may be, there is a familiarity that connects us to them. As they emerged from ordinary circumstances, which are not foreign to many of us. A boy from village of Mvezo in the rural Eastern Cape and a community organizer on the south side of Chicago, they give hope and validation to millions of young people around the world who identify with these humble backgrounds. They are proof that condition is no limitation. Once Madiba was asked by one of the Mandela Rhodes scholars, and he asked, "What is your dream for this country and this continent?" And Madiba replied, "My dream? My dream has started already. Here you are." To honor Madiba's legacy is to research and find in every one of us those values and strengths that enable us to go beyond ourselves, to embrace the bigger causes, to take risks, to make sacrifices for what is right, to be in service to others so that every single human being lives with dignity and in freedom. To celebrate Madiba is to nurture the future where young people who are working in the public and private sectors, within civil society and academia, and in the arts and athletics, in townships and villages, in refugee camps and favelas, in slums and suburbs, will have been inspired to seek the world as it should be and become the giants like those we are celebrating here and today. And on behalf and together with those young people I have just talked about, can we all please say, yes, we can. Again, yes, we can. Thank you.